Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint, the last hour of the show until Aaron returns tomorrow. 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. By the way, it's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney in Billings. You can find me online at LCTRFAN. You can find John Jackson online at PVTJokerUS. Let's go to Tanner Smith in Lakeside. Tanner Smith, former candidate for governor, a current Montana GOP national committee man, if I got that right, and in the legislature as well. So, Tanner Smith, thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I just like to kind of lament on what Jay said. He is exactly right. You know, the problem with the Republican Party is we need to be consolidated and stick together. You know, looking back at the last continuing resolution, you know, Aaron and you as well, John, lambasted Rosendale when he wanted to shut down the government. You know, a lot of people talk a mean streak, but when the rubber hits the road, you even did it today by saying, well, it's too close to an election. You know, I remember back in high school, we had some guys that were out at divisionals, and they ended up getting benched at divisionals. We took third, but we went on to play in the state championship. So sometimes you need to back your folks, you know, whether it's Matt Rosendale, whether it's doing a no vote on the continuing resolution now before an election. And the onus is on you, the media, our conservative media, to back your people and get that message out about why we shut it down, because no means no. You know, we need to stop doing this for the sake of our kids.
Hey, I'm with you. Shut it down. Completely shut it down. John Jackson, your take.
If anybody has listened to me for the 3 years I've been on here with Aaron and read any tweet that I've ever put out online, you will have seen me say over and over and over and over again, shut it down. Okay? But I know two things right now. I know, number one, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it, period. You know, I'm not going to be Charlie Brown and go try to kick the football from Lucy again, okay? And second of all, we are 1 month away from an election. Now, anybody that doesn't understand what the mainstream media will do to Republicans over that, when we've got the chance maybe to take the Senate here, I mean, get a grip, dude. You know, understand, reality check, bro. Hello.
So if Congressman Matt Rosendale votes against this CR, I will support that vote. If it results in a government shut, I personally think, my personal opinion is if the Republican Party stood up and fought on these issues and look, the SAVE Act, it's what annoys me about it is it's always these the Republicans in D.C. they want to attach onto these spending bills, you know, the SAVE Act or border wall funding or some other policy rider. And meanwhile, they're just attaching this little shiny object onto a blowout spending package that continues the COVID spending, continues all the Pelosi Schumer policies. My position is, vote no unless it puts us onto a balanced budget or a surplus, and then take the case to the American people and let the American people decide. We're coming to Perry in Columbus right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got John Jackson in the house, and we are taking phone calls all hour long. So let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, David and John. Thanks for holding down the radio wave fort today. You know, I love Unwoke Tuesday. I'm calling to talk about the Democrats, their demographic destiny plans, and well-armed illegal immigrant Venezuelan gang members taking over an entire complex in Metro Denver. You know, maybe Coloradans will rethink their leadership's citizen of the world sanctuary city stupidity now. How long do you suppose it will be until they Tommy Law Harris and friends fly 747s full of them into Montana in the middle of the night, set them up all clustered together in apartment buildings with free everything, and hand them a nice wad of your tax dollars every month, too? You know, Springfield, Ohio looks smaller than Billings on my road atlas map, but I'm hearing there are about 20,000 Haitians there now, courtesy of our wonderful federal democracy, that are making life as someone's house cat Russian roulette every time they let it outside. Think about explaining that one to your young son or daughter. I'm sorry, honey, but Fluffy had to sacrifice herself for cultural harmony and diversity, inclusion, and equity. And guess what? It's all intentional. This is why 15-plus million prisoners, mental patients, anarchists, and lazy bums have come here from every Adam Schiff-hole country in the world to complete the destruction of constitutional government in America. And it's all to save their democracy from us pesky patriots. Politicians like Tommy Law, Two-Face Tester, and the entire cast of communist characters embedded in federal agencies, including all the NGOs and grant grifters feeding at the public money trough, have rolled out the red carpet for their intended replacement electoral majority. These third world useful idiot illegals will do anything to keep that government teat in their mouths as long as the monthly check cashes. You know what their precious democracy will be? 1,000 wolves and 998 sheep deciding what's for dinner. And your family, friends, and everything you own will be on their menu.
Wow, Perry in Columbus. Great call, as always. John Jackson, your take.
Absolutely perfect. You know, we got that perfect call last hour from Tester will not be reelected, and this was the, I mean, dead on perfect. Could not have said it better myself.
Yeah, the Springfield, Ohio issue is definitely getting some attention out there. We've got Goose in Anaconda calling in. Goose, thank you for calling.
Boy, it's going to be hard to top that last caller. He was so spot on with everything. Let me add, in Springfield, Ohio, AIDS cases are skyrocketing, rape skyrocketing. We've got they're putting 20-year-old male illiterate, non-English speaking guys into the freshman high school class. More importantly, what they're doing here, that where Perry did not reach, was if people want to move out of this scenario, they can't sell their homes. Their homes are worthless now because no one's going to buy their homes with this going on. So now housing park prices go way down. Well, who comes in and swoops up all the housing? BlackRock and Vanguard. And so this is a much more concerning thing than what everybody knows, because like Perry says, this is coming to a town near every one of us. And what's sad is the cops are told to stand down. The military will be told to stand down. And if we do anything about it, we're going to be going to jail. So we're in very concerning times. And it really is all Democrat policies. The American dream is gone, and it's due to Democrat policies. And a little sloppy rhino Republicans, too, but mainly Democrat policies have destroyed this country, and there should be no reason why Democrats should be allowed to run anything in this country anymore.
Well, you bring up a really good point, I think, about the housing situation, and you've got Democrats pretending to promote home ownership for Americans and pretending to care about housing affordability. But what do you think is going to do? What does it do to the demand for housing when you introduce over 10 million new illegal aliens in 3.5 years under Biden? What does that do to the cost of housing?
And you can't overstate the importance of this November election. Because I'm telling you right now, this is for all the marbles. This is it, folks. You lose here, Kamala Harris gets in there, they will have had our government under their control for 16 of the last 20 years, and it is over forever. They will have cemented in the cheat. There will never be another Republican president ever, and this place is over. They will. You think 20 million illegal savages from the third world is bad? Imagine 50. Imagine 100 million of them. You're over. Your way of life is over, and your children, they are screwed forever.
Yeah, and the caller was right, too, that the vast, and this is not just me. There was a big Wall Street Journal report I was talking about last week where the Wall Street Journal reporting that over 10 million new illegal aliens just under the Biden administration 3.5 years. That's on top of the 10, 20, 30 million that were already here. And you're looking, so I personally think we're at 40 or 50 million. I mean, you see these estimates kind of all over the place. I think we're at 40 to 50 million. We just saw Chuck Schumer. We were talking about during a break. Chuck Schumer just recently said, and Kamala Harris's actual policy website, she finally put up a policy. Giving American citizenship to all of them, which then results in chain migration of any, you're 100 million maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson in for Aaron Flint. We were just talking during the break about that last caller. My comment was, look, we know for a fact that there's at least 10 million new illegals in the country just under Biden. There's estimates that before Biden took over, there was, you know, 20 or 30 million here already. So I think you're looking at closer to 40 or 50 million illegal aliens. Chuck Schumer just recently said that they want to give full-blown American citizenship to all of them. Kamala Harris finally put out a policy page on her website. I'm sure you saw that, John Jackson. On the policy page of Kamala Harris's website, she calls for giving citizenship to all these illegal aliens in our country. Assume it's 50 million. You give citizenship to 50 million illegal aliens, and then under the 1965 Immigration Act, they get to bring in all of their family members. So you're actually probably looking at 100 million, 150 million new American citizens. That's 50% of already our existing population. And they're, according to the Wall Street Journal, most of them are unskilled, they're illiterate, they don't speak English, and they're uneducated. And so they're going to drive down wages, they're driving up the cost of housing, and then you add them to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, that collapses the system, that completely collapses our economy, collapses the system. That's what I think is going to happen. And then they replace it with communism. What do you think?
Yeah, their first goal is, of course, one-party rule to where they are in power forever, because just sheer numbers of voters they've added to the rolls. And then secondly, you're absolutely right. They are destroyers. This is about collapsing the system. But I've got a big news flash for all of them. You collapse this system, we become Argentina. That collapses the world, folks. Because we are the top of the mountain. We're just not going to be Argentina, where we're just some isolated thing that doesn't affect anybody else. It will collapse the world. It will be Walking Dead time, and you people will not be in charge. You will be running for the bunkers and find out, oops, there's only Joe Biden and Kamala Harris room for them and their Secret Service details in the bunker. We're out here with the rest of them, and you're going to be the first folks get eaten.
Right, because they're going to be the ones that are in the cities. Meanwhile, me and John Jackson are going to be up at our cabins.
Yeah, babe. We're off the grid, ready to go.
No, so, I do think, like, especially during COVID, I think COVID really taught people a lot about the benefits of being in Montana when stuff goes south. And I'm so thankful to be in Montana if something goes wrong here.
Yeah, you've food, shelter, water, guns and ammo, medicine. That's take care of all those, and you're good to go.
Amen. Let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, thanks for calling.
Yes, I heard something last night. I don't remember who was talking, but it was on the national news anyway. They were talking about we can always take them out on the next vote. But I just wonder, will there be a next vote? Or will you be able to vote for Kamala Harris?
And why do you think? What do you mean by that? Why do you think there might not be another vote?
Because, you know, they if they do what they want and take over, say, turn this place into a, come and takes over all businesses, takes over all properties in the United States, then you wouldn't, you'd be a communist state again.
Yeah, we're headed that direction. What's funny is they always accuse Trump of being an authoritarian dictator when that's the Democrats. And by the way, Trump was president, and guess what? He was not an authoritarian dictator.
I really let's do a tally on the last 4 years. You had 2 years of COVID shutdowns and $6 trillion of spending by these people. And now add that onto what you've seen the entire 4 years of crime, the economy, foreign wars, energy. Anybody that's stepping up right now here in 2024 to vote for another Democrat, you are mentally ill. Okay, and I don't know what to say to you. There's nothing can be said to you. You are too dumb to breathe.
Yeah, I mean, some people, what would you say to the people out there that say, hey, you know, look, I agree with Donald Trump's on policy issues. I think Donald Trump is better on immigration. I think Trump is better on the economy. I think Trump's got a better foreign policy. But, you know, I just don't like Trump's personality, and he's kind of mean.
Once again, too dumb to breathe. Okay, look, I don't care. The CEO of my company out here that I'm investing in, do you care whether or not he puts out mean tweets? I want to know whether he raises the value of that company and gives me a cheap product that's worthwhile to buy. That's all. I care about the results, all right? I don't care about his personality and his mean tweets and all this crap. Come on, get over it, guys.
Amen. Let's go to Mark in the Flathead. Mark, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. I love what you guys do.
Thank you.
I had a funny spot. The Democrats and the plantation owners have so many parallels. They are importing slave labor to bring down inflation, to make our products cheaper. I thought they were worried, you know, we were worried about the vote. I think they're going, oh, they're probably going to do the vote thing, too. But now they're just bringing in a bunch of slaves. And it's sad because a lot of the slaves are decent people.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about, like, so you're saying basically like a lot of these illegal aliens are being treated like slaves? Is that what you're saying, Mark? Or?
Well, yeah, they're being fed and housed and they work cheap.
Yeah, there is.
They live in bunks.
There is a lot of that's a really good point, Mark in the Flathead. Really good point, because a lot of these illegal aliens are being taken advantage of in our economic system. I know for a fact that there are business owners that have these illegal aliens living in houses that the business owner owns and then has them working 15 hours a day, paying them very little. And it does start to look very much like slave labor. If not that, then just, you know, sort of taking advantage of people that are in a very, very precarious position. But there's also an argument that I think maybe John Jackson was going to make. What does that mean that when I have to go to work so that the government can take my money and then use my money to pay for all these things for illegal aliens, what does that make me?
Well, that's what I was going to add on to what Mark said, is he's right and half of it. But the other part is we are the slaves. All of our money and wealth and work and sweat is being confiscated by the government to give over as freebies to invaders, to third world savage invaders. We are the slaves here.
Well, speaking of what our taxpayer dollars are going to go to under Kamala Harris, I was stunned to see CNN reporting on Kamala Harris's positions in a 2019 ACLU questionnaire, and she pledged to have taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained illegal aliens. And so if you folks want your taxpayer dollars to be paying for gender transition surgeries for illegal aliens who are in detention centers for crimes, then I guess you can vote for Kamala Harris. But I certainly don't support that. Do you, John?
Well, also in that CNN piece, they're talking about she was had signed on to decriminalizing all drugs and ending ICE, ending CBP, no more border enforcement of any kind, all of that. She signed on to every single far-left position. She was the most leftist senator in the Senate, left of Bernie Sanders. She was number one.
Did you see that Vivek Ramaswamy clip that kind of went viral on Twitter where he was going through all of the facts of Kamala Harris? And no, Kamala Harris didn't just support Medicare for Medicaid for all and want to abolish all private health insurance. She sponsored the bill. She didn't just support giving American citizenships to illegal. She sponsored the bill. And it just went down this whole laundry list. John, what is going on with Kamala Harris switching all of her positions? What's your take on that?
Well, here's the thing. As far as I can see, she has not switched any of them, David, because, look, she's not talking to anybody. She's not out there saying anything to anybody. She had that one little softball interview that she did where it was all just word salad BS. Where you see her, allegedly, her positions being switched are by her aides. Her staff whispers in to the ears of the media, and they come out with and say, oh, now she's changed her position. No, she hasn't. Because what one thing has she absolutely said now? She has said, my values have not changed.
Right.
She hasn't switched on anything. She's doing a stealth campaign, sprint to the finish, do no interviews, maybe do one debate, and hope nobody notices who she really is.
And Bernie Sanders even admitted on the Sunday shows 2 days ago that he's not concerned about Kamala Harris because she hasn't changed and that she's just being pragmatic to win the election. That was Bernie Sanders.
Well, you said, I heard you talking earlier this morning. You were talking about, why did CNN do this clip?
I was going to ask you why you think that they did it.
The only time you see these leftist networks do something like this that outs maybe a Democrat is when they're trying to give them tough love. Like CNN or some, right. One of these other places will. They've been tapping on the table now for a month, trying to get Kamala out there to officially change this stuff so it'll help her in the election. But right. She hasn't done it. So this is CNN pounding on the table saying, you need to get out here and tell everybody you're not for this stuff.
That's a good point, yeah, because I think the CNN folks probably recognize that unless Kamala goes out and gives a rational and believable explanation for why she's changed her positions, then all of this stuff just really hurts her in the election, because now it gives me, people like me and you, all kinds of content to say that she hasn't changed her positions, to point out these extreme policy positions, and then to point out the fact that she's running a fraudulent scam campaign, just like John Tester is, pretending to be pro border security and all that stuff.
Well, living overseas, a lot of times in a lot of these countries, particularly back in the day, all you had for U.S. news was CNN. And if you wanted to, here you are, you want to hear what's going on in the United States, and this was, maybe before internet was widespread, you have to watch CNN. And you sit there all day long. You know what they are? They are a Democrat workshop. All they do is kick stuff around over there. What should we do about this? What should we do about this? No. That's what this is. It's tough love for Kamala Harris.
That's a good point. And you've seen him do it in other situations, too. But pretty amazing to see. I guess we'll find out. We've got Sam in the Flathead on the line. Sam, we're up against a break. We'll come to Sam in the Flathead right after this. This is David Noble, John Jackson, filling in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The House GOP stopgap funding bill to keep the government funded after September 30th locks a one-year farm bill extension. The must-pass continuing budget resolution extends government funding through next March, including USDA feeding, ag credit insurance, rural housing, and livestock mandatory reporting. But the stopgap, likely to be voted on this week, does not, as some predicted, include a one-year farm bill extension. American Farm Bureau's Joe Gilson.
That looks more likely that we'd have to get something done in the lame duck, and that could come in terms of if they want to just kick it to the next Congress, an extension, or if there's a strong support for a five-year farm bill, there's about a month and a half to get something done in the lame duck.
Gilson had expected lawmakers to hold out on another extension until the lame duck, given the bigger funding priorities this month.
I know they want to get the appropriations done with so that we're not at risk of a shutdown at the end of September.
Again, a vote is expected on that stopgap funding bill. If a new farm bill with higher crop supports can be passed during a lame duck session, funding for it would not come sooner than fiscal year 2026. I'm Lane Ortblund.
Town Square.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You got 20 minutes left with John Jackson and David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Sam in the Flathead. Sam, thanks for calling.
Great show. I wish this was national.
Thank you.
Just way too much to be talked about. This is referring to the Department of Montana Corrections. Your comment about this taking place on things that are changing prisoners out of state. I know for a fact that in 2018-2019, there was a male individual that was going through the process of being changed over to a transvestite or whatever you want. I know for a fact in 2018.
Hit the red button.
Hello.
Yeah, you're still on. Go ahead.
Okay. I know for a fact, though, in 2018, the individual looked and acted like a male. By 2019, he developed female attitudes, and you couldn't even hardly recognize him. That was in 2018-2019. So it's happening right here in Montana. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks, Sam. I appreciate the call. I thought where you were going with that is saying that the Montana DOC is somehow promoting transgender transitions. I don't know if that's the case or not. Do you have any idea, John?
No, the only story I heard was Aaron was on it, about 6 months ago, about they were trying to put that one guy, the judge had recommended that this one guy be put in the women's prison here. I remember that story. But
oh, that was a story. Yeah. And that was the whole thing. Actually, I gave huge props to Judge Fair for coming on the show and explaining kind of what happened there and that it was just a recommendation, et cetera, and that the DOC actually has final say. I'd like to see a follow-up on that to see what ended up happening with that one. In the meantime, let's go to, is it D8 or is it 08 in Big Fork? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, it's D8. Anyways.
Okay, cool.
Hey, you guys had a great show, John, David. Appreciate listening to you very much. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
I'm an older guy, and I spend a lot of time with veterans, my friends, and I'm watching what's going on here in the country with our government as it is, giving everything that we work for and we earn away to people that have no right for it. And, you know, all these people that own small businesses, they're going to be the first ones that are going to be hurt, because all these people are going to come in and start businesses and compete with them. And I just want to know, is the government, the Democrat government in this country, ready for the uprising that's going to come? And we don't have pitchforks and shovels anymore. It's not going to be our grandfather's war. This is going to be something that's going to be nationwide, and it's going to be terrible, because I think the American public, a lot of these young veterans coming home and the older veterans from other wars, we're going to get tired of seeing everything we own given away to people that have no right for it by a government that is so self-serving and ridiculous. you know, they all they care about is their power and their money and their bank. So eventually, I think it's going to come to a head, and I'm praying that that doesn't happen, that somebody takes over and pays attention and gets us back on track.
Well, I'm not seeing any evidence that the American people are willing to actually stand up for themselves. I mean, look at Montana. We just recently had the Montana Supreme Court say that little girls can get abortions in this state without even telling their parents and without their parental consent. And has anybody in Montana done anything about it?
What can we do? I mean, I've been saying that for a few years now.
I mean, we could go and protest outside the Montana Supreme Court and shut it down and have our voices heard. Are people not upset?
Now, Dave, you don't think we would get the same reaction that Zoe Zephyr got? We would not be hailed as heroes?
Well, no, we would be trans or not?
We would be insurrectionists, David. Let me tell you, only left-wing loons can do stuff like that. We do stuff like that. We are insurrectionist, far-right-wing, white supremacist people. That's how that would be framed. Plus, it wouldn't do anything. What you need is a nimble legislature to automatically have another bill written and just, you know, change the font of the ink and pass it again.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, bigger picture, though, like, I just don't see the point that caller's making is that the American people are eventually going to get sick of the Democrat stuff that they're doing to us and destroying our lives. And I just don't see it. I see most people staring at their phones. I see most people doing drugs and alcohol. Most people just trying to get by, working, spending time with family. We're long past the time when the people of America should have stood up and done something about this. So I mean, are people really going to ever stand up and fight back?
No, they will when it's too late. When it's far too late, that's when people will wake up and think, oh my God. You know, there's a saying that they ask, how do societies collapse? The answer is slowly at first. Then all of a sudden, you were around in 08 with the housing crash. You saw in a couple of days, people lost everything, right? You lost half of everything you had in 401ks. A lot of people, if they weren't diversified, lost their entire life savings in a matter of days. When it goes quick. And like I said, we're the top of the mountain. This is not going to be Argentina. It's going to be the Walking Dead time. And all of those people that caused it are going to be the first people eaten.
Yeah, that's just like I was reading Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And hilariously, the Bolsheviks actually arrested a ton of commies and threw them in the Gulag. And then all of these communists that got thrown in the Gulag thought it was a mistake and thought they were going to get released. And it's like, no, commies, the Bolsheviks arrest you guys too. Right? I mean, it's like these Democrats in the United States, they're going to be the first ones thrown into the gulag once the Bolsheviks take over.
Well, yep, they're useful idiots right now, and the days of the old white folks running everything on their side of the Pelosi's and the Schumer's, that'll be gone. It will be, imagine little Mogadishu, Minnesota, that'll be all of your, you know, Minneapolis, that'll be all of your big cities.
Hey, so what other stories do you think are important to talk about?
Had one that I thought was interesting out of New York City, speaking of big blue cities. You guys all know the Mayor Adams up there, who took over for de Blasio, has bragged over and over again about his chocolate city, his chocolate city up there. Well, his chocolate city is falling down all around him. The feds have come in. They are investigating all of his aides all around him, also to include the chief of police. The chief of police up there's home has been raided. They're all of them being looked at for kickbacks, racketeering, all this other stuff. And I put a stopwatch, David, before they flip on Adams and do him in, and that whole place comes crumbling down. Their whole government up there.
It's amazing to see the Biden administration going after a Democrat like that, just like it was frankly surprising to see him going after Bob Menendez. What did Bob Menendez do to finally get prosecuted for corruption?
Didn't he, remember back the first time during Obama's time when they went after him on the first charge that he beat? Didn't he come out against Obama on Obamacare or something like that? And that's what got the feds on him first time.
makes perfect sense. Just like I thought originally with the New York City mayor, I thought that was originally like a political physical retribution, because Mayor Adams in New York was actually calling out the Biden administration saying, hey, these illegal aliens are overwhelming us. You got to put a stop to this. This is the federal government's fault. And then all of a sudden they're investigating him.
Funny how that works. And they're probably just a coincidence, so probably not related there.
Probably not at all. Let's go to Marilyn in Lolo online too. Marilyn, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I keep getting these brochures in the mail from Democrats, of course, and they're knocking on my door, and they're making phone calls, and it's all about public lands. Well, I screamed and yelled at one of the callers the other day because I'm concerned about my private property,
Amen.
And they seem not to be. And
Amen.
So I think we need to make sure that the brainwashing that they're trying to do on us is not that we plug in at what they're doing. And, you know, they keep sending the brochures out about, oh, she's trying to privatize our health care, Well, okay, the other alternative is
socialism.
Socialism.
Government-run health care. Marilyn, we're up against the break. If you've got more to say, stick with us. We got another segment with John Jackson. Open phones 294-097. We'll be right back.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Lolo, or Maryland in Lolo. Maryland in Lolo, thanks for hanging with us through the break.
Thank you. So one more thing, when you were talking about, oh, they're going to call us insurrectionists or whatever. So we have to finally take our country back. I've been a pro-life activist for years, and even trying to save the babies and help the women, we were called all kinds of names, and we've been imprisoned, and we've been attacked. But we have to take our country back, no matter what it takes. Read the Declaration of Independence. Look at what our founding fathers did. Don't be intimidated, men, by what these left and call us, label us, or whatever. We need to do what we need to do to take our country back, and that's it. And, you know, we've been brainwashed ourselves to, you know, our talk show host keeps saying, oh, we're nonviolent. So the Democrats know they can just roll right over us. And I'm not saying that we should go out there and be violent, but it is going to come to that because of how extreme they are. So we need to not be afraid of them and do what we need to do to keep our property and to keep the invasion from happening. I can't believe that we haven't stopped that. Good God Almighty.
Well, thank you so much for the call. The way I'm interpreting sort of these callers and I guess your position, John Jackson, on some of these issues is it's kind of just a disagreement on tactics. I mean, we all agree. We want to secure the border. We want to deport the illegal aliens. We don't want the Montana Supreme Court issuing outrageous rulings like little girls can get abortions without their parents. The question is whether we shut the government down right now or whether we go and we shut down the Montana Supreme Court by protesting outside of it. Those are just sort of tactical disputes, and my thing is, why do conservatives love to fight each other so much over tactics? And we all agree on the main point. We all agree where we're trying to go, but we got to rip each other apart because somebody wants to be more aggressive, somebody doesn't want to be more aggressive, somebody has a political strategy, somebody disagrees with the political strategy. That's the way I'm interpreting it.
Yeah. And I agree with you exactly, except for, I make exception for what we call the rhinos. These people who are Democrats, they vote for Democrat policies over and over and over again and then call themselves Republicans. That I cannot abide. But people that just have a strategy dispute on something, how we should do this, how we do that, I'm fine with having that conversation, and let's have it cordially.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, right now, we got to win this election. And, you know, that's the main thing, right? And so I can see people disagreeing over, hey, what helps us win the election more? Do we shut down the government right now and take the case to the American people about the SAVE Act? Do we shut the government down and take the case to the American people about a balanced federal budget? Or do we basically allow Speaker Johnson to do what we know he's going to do anyway, which is take the Democrat votes in the House, take the undocumented Democrat votes from the Republican side of the aisle, and pass one of these CR omnibus bills?
To show you how they have emboldened these rhinos, you know, the Paul Ryans of the world and the Mike Johnsons of the world, how they have emboldened these Democrats. What Mike Johnson has got on the table right now is he wants to put the SAVE Act in just to a CR, right? He's not saying he just wants it into the CR maybe 3 months or 6 months, right? Well, Biden is saying he'll veto that. He's not saying that we're going to pass it. It's just going to be in the act for a CR. And Biden's saying, nope. That tells you right there, that's what they want right now. Let me tell you something. Biden and Kamala Harris would like nothing better than to have some shutdown right now. They can blame on the Republicans, you know, 6 weeks before an election. It would be like a gift from heaven for them.
Counterpoint, though, aren't elections oftentimes about turning out the base? And don't you think a shutdown right now over a really important issue like making sure illegals can't vote, wouldn't that energize the base?
Our base is coming out. Our base is energized behind Donald Trump and what's happened these last 4 years. What this will energize is all the Looney Tunes out there. That's who this will energize, and we don't need that.
Okay, let's go. Let's sneak in Lori in Hamilton. Lori, you're the last caller on the show. Thanks for calling in, Lori.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a report. Came from a small town in Washington. It was agriculture all over. My grandpa said in the 1960s that one day Mexico will have taken us over from the inside out without having fired a shot, and it's happening. In the 60s, we had 60% in the schools, 70s went to 70%, 80s went to 80% of bilinguals. I left there 44 years ago. In the 90s, I hear it's a 90%. And they did round them up every year with ICE. They just came right back. They hit each other quite often, and they showed back up the next year. And I believe that that's just an evidence of a small town that has already happened a long time ago. And well, it's one of the
appreciate the report from one of our correspondents out there.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And one last thing. I got a text from Aaron Flint. I guess he has landed and is in town and is listening to us right now. Aaron, are you listening? We got an envelope in here for you. And Travis brought it in here a minute ago. It's a piece of mail. I'm not sure what it is, but it says STD results on the outside of it. You might want to come in and check that out, bro.
It's true, folks. It's true that we did get somebody coming by the studio and giving us an envelope with Aaron Flint's name on it. I'll leave it up to the listeners to determine whether that last piece is true.
I'm just passing along info, folks. Don't hate the player here. I'm just passing it along.
Well, folks, thank you all for listening in over the last 5 days while I had the honor and the privilege of guest hosting. Thanks, John Jackson, for being here the last couple of hours. Always enjoy it. Find John Jackson online, TVT Joker US. Find me online, LCTRFAN. Aaron Flint, back tomorrow. Don't miss it.